when you are in a situation with a narcissistic person and you have to continue the relationship, maybe you're co-parenting, maybe they are your parents, or you work with them and you are struggling because every time you try to communicate, it's like hitting your head against the wall and you never seem to get your way. You always seem to be in battle mode and it hurts and it sucks. My guest today, Lindsay Ellison, has written a book called Magic Words, How to Get What You Want from a Narcissist. This book to me should be on everyone's bookshelf and we should all be paying attention to it. If you have to talk to your narcissist, if you've got to communicate with them and you don't want to keep hitting your head against the wall. So let's welcome Lindsay and hear what she's written in this great book.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. And I feel so grateful to have like time with you to talk to you about my work. And I'm just honored that you're here doing your work and helping so many people.
Thank you. Well, we are here today to talk about your new book. And it is called Magic Words and How to Get What You Want from a Narcissist. And I got this from you on Friday. And I could not put it down. And I was so grateful that it was succinct and quick and easy to read. And I just fell in love with it and thought the world needs to know this. And people that are struggling, this book is intended for people who are stuck not being able to go no contact, having to deal with them, having to co-parent, or if it is your parent, how do you talk to them so that you don't get defeated every time you talk to them? So your book, Magic Words, magic stands for something. Can we outline what those letters stand for?
Yeah, magic is an acronym. And, you know, I'll start by saying how I created this book, and I even talk about this in the introduction, but, you know, I came from, before I got into coaching, I've been coaching for about 7 years now, and before I did that, and before my divorce and all the other stuff that went on in my life, I was an advertising professional. I was a marketing professional. And when we are creating any type of ad campaign to persuade a buyer to do something, we have to get into the buyer's head, right? We have to know exactly what the buyer's about, what triggers him or her, what makes them buy. And so ultimately we create a buyer persona. And so a buyer's persona is taking research and data on this particular buyer, whether it's through focus groups or qualitative analysis, quantitative analysis, and having data, and then putting together a buyer persona and making a story. Who are they? Of course, because it's a buyer and there's lots of buyers, we create one particular buyer persona that really is targeted towards what would be the most effective way. And then we create persuasive words of influence to hopefully help them buy whatever it is that you're selling. Well, I ended up mapping that kind of structure into my own personal life, even as I started co-parenting 10 years ago after my divorce. And then as I started coaching, I had a lot of people come to me basing, like what you just said was, I have to be in contact with this person, or I'm dealing with my narcissistic parent. How do I have a relationship with them, but still keep my cool and not lose my cool? And how do I put on a different lens where I feel more empowered and no longer disempowered? So that first letter within the magic is mapping their persona. And I offer a way, and I give, and just to give the our listeners an understanding, is this book is very workbook associated, where you can, I give you a list of questions and it's helping you to build the communication strategy. So that first step is mapping their persona. And the good news is you don't need focus groups or qualitative and quantitative analysis because you know this person really, really well. You've lived with them, you were raised by them, you were married to them, et cetera. So you have an enormous asset of information. And I don't think we ever realize that we can use that to our advantage. So mapping their persona is getting you to pull all of this data that's already up here and putting it on paper. And so that's the beginning of it. Do you want me to keep going on the rest of the letters?
On that mapping, what I found fascinating was you were having the readers look at, you know, what was their relationship with their mother, their father. So you're kind of feeling out, and in your book, you've given them questions, you've given sample answers so they can sort of figure out how to map that persona, because, you know, we've been married to them or they were our parent or something, but we're just like, what do you mean map the persona? They're not in the marketing world, so they might not really get all of it. So this is just, to me, brilliant work.
And, thank you.
And yeah, so let's go to the A.
Yeah, so the next one is assessing their fears and insecurities. So you're right, mapping their persona, we're really getting into their dynamic between their mother and their father, the relationship between mom and dad, the relationship that mom and dad had together, the relationship with their siblings, if there are any, what was going on in their childhood. So we're really building a foundation for information. And the next thing is building upon that is A, assess their fears and insecurities. It's basically what triggers them. What triggers them? And I say this in my book probably a dozen different times, but if you are struggling with a narcissist and not being able to communicate with them, it is very, very likely that your communication style with them is not working because you represent their greatest fear and insecurity, which is a boundary, which is you saying, no, this doesn't work for me. And what made your relationship work for them all along was that you didn't have any boundaries. So once you decided to say, I'm done with this, I'm sick of your behavior, I'm not going to tolerate, so whether it's a divorce or whether you cut them off or whether you say, no, dad, I'm not going to Thanksgiving, boundaries and narcissists are like oil and water. They don't like boundaries. So oftentimes, as you're sitting here trying to be logical and express your so-called boundaries with them, it's doing nothing but triggering them. So it's taking you out of the picture for a second and assessing what is a fear or insecurity to them, and then getting to understand, oh, I get it. I realize that everything I say to them is triggering them, which is why this communication pattern has never been working. So that's kind of the next step of getting you to figure out what are their triggers, what are their insecurities, so that you can either play on them, should you need to, or neutralize them and use words to help them calm down so they don't see you as such a target, as such a boundary setter, where they're more able to actually work with you.
Right. And that's so important because, you know, the wall everyone hits, it's the same wall. It's no matter what you're trying to achieve. And in most conversations, whether it's that conversation about going to Thanksgiving dinner or taking Johnny to the zoo that day, it's always, you know, you have an objective in these conversations when you're going on and trying to remain in this very low contact state. So, you know, I know that in this conversation pattern and in your magic words, it's setting a goal, which is the next one for the G in magic. So setting a goal of what do you want to achieve so that you understand that, because if we don't write down a goal, we don't really map it out. We aren't as prepared. And your book is going to help them sort of go, oh, this is what I want. And let's talk about setting the goal, because that was such a cool part to me, because it's often overlooked because we hit this wall of anger and someone just, and we shut down. So if we have it in mind that this is what I want to do, what's the best way? I don't want to use the word manipulate them, but it is in a way, it's using words to kind of calm the situation and get what you need.
Yeah. And I think the first chapter, I don't know if it's the first or second, where the name of it is CEO of Your Life. And this relationship with your narcissist, you've got to look at it as a different relationship. It is no longer, it should no longer be a power struggle. They should not have any power over you. The best way to look at this relationship, this engagement, is a business deal. And when we are in our professional lives, I don't know how many times, I'm sure you've heard this. How many times have you heard this? I hear this from clients all the time. I am a rock star at work. You know, I'm super successful. I love what I do. I can handle any conflict. and you know, I'm a bit of a badass, and I do really well professionally. But for some reason, this person is constantly waking me and putting me into a place where I don't even recognize myself anymore. And it's because if you are able to do so well at work, it's because you've already mastered what it's like when you're dealing at business, professional. You don't take it personally. You don't get emotionally attached to the outcome. So I say in my book that if you are in a business deal, if you are trying to get something from, let's say you're trying to sell something, you're trying to have a, let's say, you know, a business deal or negotiate, you don't go in there without a plan or you're going to get eaten out alive. Mm-hmm. All you don't worry about, nor do you tell your prospective buyer that you're super stressed out. And we don't talk about your feelings. And as you're going into the conference room, having a meeting with this person, you don't tell them that you had a horrible day and you got, and the one kid is sick and the nanny is not coming to blah, blah, blah. You just, why? Because emotions don't matter. So you don't share that with anybody. And it's the same thing when you're engaging with whoever narcissist is in your life. So you've got to start thinking about this entire engagement as a business deal. And so in order to do that, you don't ever come to the table without a goal. What's my goal? What do I want out of this? And a lot of the times when you realize, and you can stop, and I say this in my book, goal setting is not just overall goal. It's at every engagement. As you're about to hit reply on your phone, or if you're replying to an email, or if you've got to talk to a lawyer, or you're about to get on the phone with this person, you in order for you not to get triggered yourself, you're like, what's my goal with this? Do I even need to respond? Okay, I do need to respond. My goal is to have such and such. And the minute you do that, you suddenly take away the emotion. And you're like, okay, I get it. I have a goal. And then when you don't achieve your goal, you're just going to walk away. I'm like, well, this isn't working. You're going to try a different strategy, a different way of communicating. So goal setting is really important. And it often will really eliminate or minimize is the better word. It will minimize the amount of texting you have back and forth. My ex, I share custody, 50-50 custody with him. I have two teenage boys. We've been divorced for 10 years. And as my kids are getting older, they are starting to see his narcissistic behavior. And it's really bothering them. And they are becoming more and more attached to me. And it's threatening him. And he's getting more and more controlling. And it's putting a lot of bullying type behavior on my kids. And do you know how many times when my kid tells me something and it triggers me and I want to pick up my phone and tell him he's an asshole and like, this is why I left you and you haven't learned anything. Do you know how many times I want to do that? Like I do reiterate in my book, this isn't easy, right? I struggle with this too. But if I was to say before I get, if I'm mad, I will make sure my emotions, I take a walk, I will just distract myself. I'll go have some cake. I don't know, whatever it is that you have to do. But a lot of times I'll say, what is my goal here? And if I'm angry, I'll realize, you know what? My goal is I'm really pissed off and I want to wound him. Not a goal. That's a goal that I have to work on myself because that is not something that's going to be effective. So the goal setting part is a really good kind of break is a pause before you have the engagement.
It's really, everything that you said is so important. I love the fact that you said that if my goal is to wound him, which is everyone's natural reaction. It's
the fight or flight.
And you want to fight back. And it takes a lot of control to even see that you're just being manipulated to go there. You feel crazy because they're manipulating you there, but it's up to you to have that knowledge and this education that they'll get in your book to sit there and say, wait, that's only gonna like throw, you know, like you're throwing something on the fire. It's just gonna spark up. So how do we defuse it so you still get your goal, but you're not sitting there like, you know, calling him the asshole or the asshole. Verify that man, we're not just clear counting you. But you know, it does, we want that so badly. And to remove that and make it more of a business transaction is going to save them.
Yeah. And I talk about this as well in that when you can truly master this type of communication and when you truly are able to recognize that their behavior is that it's a disorder. It is a personality disorder. It's a spectrum disorder. We forget that. There are different levels of the type of narcissism that you will see in someone. And often narcissism is an umbrella disorder for subset disorders. Okay. So there's other things, you know, they have borderline or anxiety or whatever the other disorders they have, but think of them as they're kind of handicapped here. Okay. And you're not. So that already you have leverage. Where you lose your leverage is where their disorder becomes your disorder. And we absorb their disorder. And when you can really start to see, so for instance, when I was texting with my ex, something happened last week and stupid stuff, but it was just, you know, he made me mad. He upset my son. He was calling my son a liar or whatever. And I wanted to just boom, like hit him because he hurt my kid. And then Mama Bear comes out, right? And then I thought, okay, he's probably, again, what's his disorder? I am able to now take a breath and have a little bit of compassion and a little bit of empathy towards this person. And I think one of the biggest things that when we come out of a codependent narcissistic relationship, we have been, you know, the schooling on codependency is that we have too much empathy. Well, I say it's okay to still have it. You can still have empathy for someone without losing yourself in the process. So if you could have empathy towards someone, because we're empathetic people, we all are. If we're in a relationship with a narcissist, we're empaths in some capacity. We can use that to our advantage because they don't have it. So we can say, all right, wow, he must be stressed. Something's going on with him to behave that way. And that gets me to the next part, which is what words do I use, which is C, communicate. What words do I use to help play on this anxiety if I need to, or neutralize it? So in that case, one of my magic words is, you seem stressed, what can I do to help? Now, that isn't meant to be literal. I'm not telling you to say, what can I do to help, and then you help him. No, it's basically saying, I was able to spin it and said, my son said this, or our son said this, this concerned him. And my goal in that was to get him to back off of my son because my son was feeling the stress. So I said something like, you seem stressed. Something's not working out. I didn't come in and say, you're a horrible father. You shouldn't have done that. And I wanted to, but I know that's not going to work. And I know if I did that, he would then go to my son and say, why did you tell your mother this? And then my son would stop telling me things, right? It's the trickle down effect. I don't want that to happen. So instead, I used one of my magic words and said, you seem stressed. What can I do to help? And I was playing on his triggers and anxiety to our advantage, my son and myself, and offered a way of saying, I know what's going on with you, and whatever's going on with you isn't working. And it works like a charm. Mm-hmm. He'll either just not respond at all, but it gets him to back off because it gets him to, it's me holding up a mirror in front of him without shoving it in his face and telling him what a jerk he is.
And so he got quiet after you texted him that?
He got quiet and that, well, he didn't respond. And the next day he responded and he went, thanks for this, which is like magic, right? thanks for this. Yeah, I've been stressed. I have been driving, you know, he has a very long commute. And what did he do? The next thing is he got into victim mode, right? Mm-hmm. He was telling me what a hard life he has and that he wants to be recognized. He didn't tell me this. It's my translation of it. But he was turning himself into victim mode so that we feel sorry for him so that he can get away with that behavior. That's what he does. I know him so well. See, we all know him like the back of our minds. So he was telling me about his drive and that I could see that he didn't feel appreciated by my son, which my son does not appreciate him. But I had to then say to him, wow, that seems really tough. I hear you, which is another magic word. I hear you. I hear where you're going. If you need help, I can pick him up at a different time or whatever. I'm basically coming as I'm offering him support, but sending him a very, very subtle message of back the hell off and you need to chill out. Mm-hmm. Do you see the difference?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And seem to, you opened up this door of compassion and empathy with the first text, and that got him to like think for a second and caught him off guard because he was expecting the wrath of mm-hmm. come down on him and be like, you know, mama bear, don't do this. But you totally neutralized the whole situation. Does he know that you wrote this book and that you just used two of the magic words?
Probably not. He knows what I do for work. He has definitely in high angst, or if he's mad at me, like when I have a boundary and I say no, and if I'm unwilling to do something that he wants me to do, he will then say, oh, you call me the narcissist. Look at yourself. How many times have we heard that?
Wow.
And you know, I there is really nothing he can say that bothers me anymore. And he has no power over me. So I don't even care if he sees this, truthfully. I don't bash him. I don't put his name out there. And it's interesting. My father is also a narcissist. And one thing I've learned from him is that I used to fear that if I were to write about my childhood, because it all comes together, right? You know, you're in a relationship. If you've been parented by one, you're ultimately going to marry one, and then you learn the pattern. And I used to be so afraid that my father, who I still have contact with, is going to find this stuff out. And when my book came out, he told me, he said, well, I don't want to read your book. I said, why not? He's like, because it has nothing to do with me. I was like, okay. And he ended up reading it. And then he said, I don't get it. And I'm like, good. That means it's working. Cause it's actually it is about you, Dad, but you don't really know that. But ultimately, because narcissists are who they are, they don't go and find ways of maybe Lindsay is right. Maybe I should learn what she has to say so I can change. Well, we know that that's not true. So over the years, I think when I first started getting into coaching, really becoming public and really writing Huffington Post articles, and there's one that's still floating around there that I wrote maybe 5 or 6 years ago that's still viral. I still see it pop up on my own newsfeed. I actually see friends post this article. They don't even know I'm the one who wrote it. And I used to be really afraid of the retribution, but, you know, I have no fear.
Yeah. Good.
I would rather help people than worry about my own than my own safety.
You also didn't personalize this. I mean, we were talking about this before we started. There was maybe 2 pages about your story, which I like immediately highlighted and went, mine. So I know that my story, it relates to millions of people as well, you know, but I love the way you put it together. I think people are going to get such great benefit out of this. I full-heartedly suggest that people go and get this book. If you've got to talk to your narcissist, learn these skills, because once we've learned about them and then we start to learn about us, maybe a little codependency, boundaries, people pleasing, there's all kinds of like layers we're going to have to unfold, but then we still have to talk with them. And this is the piece that you need to know that. And of all of the books I have read this year, and there's 5 on my coffee table right now, I am like going to carry this in my purse.
Oh, great.
Help people. I brought it to a coaching appointment the other day. She's like, oh, can I have it? And I was like, no.
Not,
you can go buy it on Amazon. But I love this work. I love what you've done. And I encourage everyone to get out there. It is an easy thing to read, and it is an even easier thing to implement and start to change your relationship with the person simply by knowing not how not to trigger them and still get what you want. Because ultimately, you want him to back off your children on that text. We might want them to do something for your children or not do something for your children. And when we poke the bear, we're just going to get the angry bear. But when we can neutralize him and just keep it calmer, still might not get what you want, but there's a better chance of it because they're not on full alert and they're not in war mode. So,
yeah. And, you know, I had various iterations of a title. I really tried to, you know, it was always going to be magic words, but, you know, it was another iteration of my title was how to communicate with a narcissist without losing your mind, because, you know, that's 50% of the problem, right? Is when no matter the engagement, it's us that ends up derails us for the whole day. It puts us in a really bad mood, or we feel defeated. We feel, emotionally drained from the process. And so that was really the goal of this book as well, is even if these words don't work, which I know they will in some capacity, and I say this, so you could take one word and another word and put it into one sentence. These are just words and phrases that will help you communicate differently. But let's just say they don't. The entire first three steps of mapping their persona and knowing their insecurities and goal setting, those like first three steps, will help you think about this entire dynamic differently. And that will ultimately, as I say, will hopefully change you from victim to victor. And you are feeling, that's why I say I'm in this co-parenting gig for a long time. I have a lot more years to come, and it is challenging at sometimes, but rarely does it ever derail me anymore. And I think there's just when you really stick, and this is also creating new habits and new dialogue, new narrative habits for you. Once you stick with them, it does get easier. So you are able to create change.
Yeah. And it becomes a pattern. You just have this aha moment, and like anything in recovery, it's not going to be like you're going to remember it every time. You're not going to remember to breathe every single time until you're in the panic mode. And then you go, oh, right, I'm supposed to breathe. You know,
yeah.
Things are going to be, you're going to miss them sometimes. You're going to get them sometimes. But once you have a couple of wins with this kind of methodology, it's going to become like part of your normal speak.
And exactly.
You made it small so it can fit in people's purses so that they can sit there and read it while they're waiting for soccer or when they get that text. So,
yeah.
It's going to become second nature, and you're going to find the sweet spot, because not all narcissists are going to fall for this. But you're going to be able to, using their pains, accessing their fears and their insecurities, you're going to be able to find your sweet spot in, I want to say, manipulating them, in kind of manipulating the conversation and taking it back, taking ownership of that conversation instead of letting it ruin your day.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients and in my meetup groups and people who really know me, who actually have access to my cell phone, they will send me screenshots of text messages with their ex or soon to be ex. And screenshotting the conversation where they use the word and then it just stopped them in their tracks. And I'll get these text messages, bam, it worked. This is magic. And it makes just, even if one little win is empowering, and it just takes you to the next win and the next win after that. And I do want to say, and I really thank you for recognizing that this book, while writing it, I was so excited. I couldn't type it faster once I really started to get the formula and everything written down, because I'm so excited for this, because there really isn't anything out there like this, where it empowers you, but it's just exactly what to say and when to say it and how to build the strategy. I think so often in the whole narcissism space, there's a lot of books about, the main advice is, no contact, which many of us can benefit from. But it's also really just kind of working on your inner child and working on your own triggers, which is all helpful. I'm not negating that. But everyone's like, I need more. What do I say? How do I respond? So that's why I'm really excited about this book.
Me too. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. We will put all of your website information as well as a link to the book on the comments down below. And I suggest that you get this book and start to learn how to find those magic words that are going to make your life more peaceful.
Thank you. And I want to mention, I don't, just at the date of this recording, I'm working on an Audible. I just did my recording last week for half, so I should be wrapped up this weekend and it'll be on Audible soon. And I don't think that the Audible will work well without some kind of visual workbook. So I'm going to be creating the workbook. I probably won't sell the workbook on Amazon. I'll just have it on my own website. So just keep checking back at lindsayellison.com and you'll find it. If, whenever you're watching this video, it could be already up there, but it should be up there soon so that you can use that as a workbook to help you as you read along.
That would be perfect. Workbooks are like my new dream thing. I love them. And I keep getting them, and then I write all this stuff down like a feverish, crazy person, and then I realize I can't bring it to my support groups. I'm like, hey guys, you can see the cover, but I'm not letting you see what I wrote.
I know. It's all like very personal. And that's the thing too, is that I did have this book very tight. I actually thought about making the book as a workbook, but then I thought then it'll be too big. And then people don't want to have it lying around with all of your personal stuff in there. So that's why the virtual workbook will do well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for watching. I hope that you have learned something here. There's a lot more details in the book. And as I said, the book is not that long. I read it in a couple of hours, the whole thing. The secret sauce is in the book. So I encourage you to go get it, learn more about it. If you are new to learning about narcissistic abuse, you can visit my website, narcissistabusesupport.com, and we can get you some of the answers that you're looking for. This is Tracy Malone. Thank you so much for watching and stay tuned for my next episode when we talk to someone else. Cool. Thanks.